And what is it that you do for a living?
I am a foreman in the physical plant and facilities management.
At Western?
Yes, and currently I was the I basically managed three of the dorms and the rec center.
Okay. Have you ever run for public office before?
No, I haven't. This is my first venture into it, and it was something that was important enough to me that after a few conversations, like several phone calls and other conversations, I decided it was something that I wanted to look at.
Why was this important to you? Why are you running for the Macomb School Board?
I've been here almost 20 years in August, and I've watched a series of things, more good than bad, I can honestly say. The system itself is okay. The problem is I've never seen – well, there's one. I take that. There's one, and I've known some others that have been in the system. But there's not enough people that look like me, and there's not enough people to be a voice for the people that look like me and my experience. And that became alarming. And nobody in the system was really raising an issue with that, particularly when we know there are studies out there that prove that children learn better from teachers of color. And I don't mean that as to say that white teachers don't do well, but there's a lot of research out there of having diverse teachers, how much that helps. And I looked at experiences of everything from athletics to the school system itself, the honors courses, and even the makeup of the city and how the school system is not representative of everyone. If you ask most people locally, particularly people of the dominant number, you say, how was the school system? Oh, the school system here is great, and it's this and it's that, and that's all fine. But my question is, how is it fine when we don't have teachers that are representative of the bodies that are in that building? More importantly, to the culture, those teachers I think it's something like 80% of European Americans have no relationship with people of color. Some come in contact with them at work, but they don't really know the culture. And most people know their history or culture by media and not by personal experience or research. So for me, I find that alarming, and not in a sense that it's finger pointing, but to say we can do better. And so I don't believe in the us and them and finger pointing. You know, I've lived here 20 years. I refer to Macomb when I say I'm going home. Yeah, Detroit is still my home, but I'm a vested member in this community. I believe in it. I know its potential. And running for the school board was another way to prove that. I believe in it, and it can be better. But someone has to be that voice that has been missing.
You said teachers of color are better. Were you saying a diverse workforce is better than
yes.
all white
or absolutely.
all any color?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
The issue of diversity is important, and for me, it's that voice isn't being raised. Particularly living in a university town, we've had great minds here like J.Q. Adams, where we've had access to one of the great minds of issues of diversity in education, and never took advantage of it. And then when we look at even the numbers, we don't see people within the system making demands that we need to diversify, right? Because it's comfortable for the people in power in a larger number.
So how does the district go about creating a more diverse workforce?
One, you need to go and to recruit, say, people like myself, people like my wife, people other administrators, and even citizens who've had that experience. And when we talk about recruiting, you know, the very fact that HBCUs produce so many teachers tells me that nobody's really put a serious effort into recruiting teachers, because if you just went to, say, Howard or Tuskegee alone, you could find teachers, particularly in a town where they could still attain, if they didn't have a master's degree, they could still work here, live, and attain their master's degree while here teaching. So basically, ways to do it, you need to get people from those experiences. So when you recruit them, they see people that look like them, right? And because that's going to play a major difference, to say that there's somebody I can relate to that understands and would give them a very different understanding or view of what the local culture is.
What could you as a school board member do about that?
Well, to be honest with you, it's about being that outside voice. We're fortunate to have a gentleman like Jim LaPrade, because Jim has his educational background is in issues of education and diversity and blah, blah, blah. But he's pretty much by himself. Being on a school board, I believe now we could present things to really help move that agenda forward, because I'm really focused on my platform is so to speak, is equity and inclusion. And that's what I would really like to see. You know, we often we mix the words up, equity and equality. I'm more concerned with equity, with opportunity, with creating resources and opportunity for people to move forward. And that I do believe is missing.
What do you think of the district's plans to build a new middle school?
I knew that was coming. To be honest with you, I've talked to a number of people because I wanted to understand where people, how the community felt about that. The majority has truly been, you know, they need it. You know, you have a larger number of students in classrooms, teacher classroom ratio. And remember, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, the demographics are changing. People are changing. And I think Macomb, pretty much the way it's set up, I would like to see that junior high separate, purely because doing programs like rites of passage and working with men and young teens, particularly, I don't like the idea of having 7th and 8th graders intermixed with the high school, because that's the pivotal time. That 6th to 8th grade can really shape and change students. And so while some complain, particularly fiscal conservatives complain about that it's not needed, they can make do, I say, well, yes, it is, because it's more than just a building. I think that building will provide space to truly offer opportunity to develop those children alone. Right. Because when you talk about putting a 7th grader in the same building as a 12th grader, 10th grader, you know, you're looking at bullying issues and just that whole social dynamic. They're not really going to go tell somebody. Right. Because they don't want to be the ones that went and said this. And I mean that male and female. I truly believe building that junior high will reap dividends that, you know, the community will benefit from.
What are your thoughts on the district's finances?
Well, right now, they appear to be in good shape. Actually, I just read some more information about it. They appear to be in good shape. Now, I didn't go as deep. I was really just looking to see what is their debt-to-income ratio and how are they functioning. I think it was something like $23 million. But they seem to be in good shape. And that's pretty much all I have at the moment, because I didn't go too far with that.
Would you like to see the district do more in terms of teaching the STEM classes?
Absolutely. I'm for more STEM classes, and I would love to see more trades. I have a son that wants to go to medical school, and we talk about it all the time. But he comes from a family where my wife's family, there's a number of doctors in the family, so surgeons and all different types of doctors. So when we're around them, it's not something foreign, right? But because he comes from a family that's well-educated, he can talk to doctors. I have a number of my fraternity brothers locally that are doctors. One actually was the he was the first ever voted. He was head of all the doctors, the medical association in Peoria. And so my son's going to meet with him, right? But that's a very different experience, particularly for him and who he is and where he is, right? So we were talking the other day, and I said, you know, he was talking about becoming a doctor. And I wanted to let him know, seriously, I didn't want him feeling under pressure to live up to some, you know, the family's name or what people are doing. And I said, you know, if you told me tomorrow you wanted to be a plumber, I would say fine. But I would say after you get in so many years, we need to start a plumbing business. Right. Because those are very good paying jobs. They have far less student loan debt, but the dividends pay off pretty fast. And a lifelong job, you can build a business around that skill set. And I think as a society, while I believe in attaining a college degree, I also believe working with your hands is very noble and it pays well. You know, electricians and plumbers and trades like that do extremely well. But again, what I would really emphasize with that is they have far less student loan debt. I know so many people that have gone on and got master's degrees, and they're carrying $80,000, $90,000 in student loan debt. So now you're talking about wanting to start a family and live in a kind of neighborhood where the public school is good enough that you don't have to do private. Well, they end up in situations where, yes, them and the spouse or whomever are doing okay financially, but they're both saddled with this student loan debt, so they're now relegated not far from where they came from, right? Because they can't afford to move out. So those trades, I believe, offer the opportunity to make that money, right, and not be saddled with debt. And I believe we need to get back to some of that in the public schools.
The district has started a program where students work even on snow days. It prevents the end of the school year from being stretched out. What are your thoughts on that program?
I'm a little conflicted about that. I think it's great that the teachers have found a way to make sure that the kids are still working, right, even on those days off. But then it saddles the child. I watched my son doing his homework, you know, and he goes in the room and I say, how much you got left? Well, it's going to take me about another hour or 2 hours or, you know, whatever to do that. And I worry about the mother that can't afford to be at home to be with that kid to make sure that work is done. Right. So now this kid eventually is backed up, didn't have any home. I mean, didn't have any help to get all this work done. It's not as simple as, well, we gave them the work, so now we don't miss a day. There's a responsibility to go along with that, you know, and there's nobody, if somebody can't be there, that child may likely get behind, unlike the children with the resources. So it puts us right back in the same place in an equity in terms of resources. Now, if they set those up and they set some places up where students can go and do their homework with computers and the books and tutors, well, okay, that will make sense. But right now, I like the idea, but I think of the larger reality around that.
Your concern is that not everyone has that technology at home.
That's right. Exactly.
Is there anything you would like to see the school district add or subtract from what it's doing?
No, you know, I really have to credit the school district on the things that they've done. But again, for me, that equity and inclusion and issues of diversity are paramount. I like, because I believe all children benefit from that. Because to me, the message you send when you have this homogeneous setting that they have here, it's like one African-American teacher and one Latino-American teacher. You tell those children that other people can't be successful, because that's the message that they're being given every single day. You understand? Because when, particularly in Macomb, when you look at the police force, you look at the fire department, you look at most of the jobs, right, in the municipality around here, you see the same people in power. And it's not that other people aren't here, but you see the same people in those positions. Okay, so now you've told all these children of color, right, you're really telling the European American child that you can be anything, right? But what are you telling the other children? So the very people who are now intricate parts of the society, that they can't do those jobs, right? Because that is the message that you're sending. It's breeding a type of racism, intentional or not. And I don't know, I can't say for sure that it's intentional. I don't believe that's the intent. But I do know the outcomes, and I do know what they see. I even have grandchildren in school now, in the school district, okay? So even when talking to them about their experiences and what's happened and just some of the things that I, you know, they come tell me about exclusion of children of color. And, you know, children were invited to a party and they exclusively made sure that this kid didn't come. You know, those are the things that I'm worried about. As if we diversified this school system and somebody was able to help understand the culture, right? If people don't have contact with the people that they're teaching, they don't truly understand their experiences and their circumstance, right? And it's beyond reading. And so I believe if we really now start moving toward diversifying the school district and somebody who comes from a similar culture, I believe we could even help these children perform even better.
What are your thoughts on consolidation? Is that something the Macomb School District should be looking at?
I, in looking at that, I think it's almost inevitable. Just with the policies that are at the higher governmental level, taking money out of public education, really being, to me, anti-intellectual. I believe locally, that's pretty much, Macomb is going to be like a county. It looks as if, I can't say that emphatically, but it appears that, you know, it'll probably move to some type of county seat school just because Macomb is right in the middle and it has all the resources. So, But you have to be careful, again, when people from the outside start coming into your school district, they also bring the culture they come from and their own problems into the school district with them. So it's not as simple as just opening the doors.
How would you rate the performance of the superintendent?
I would say a 7. I think he does his job.
A 7 out of 10?
I'm sorry, 7 out of 10.
10 being high?
10 being the highest.
Okay.
I think he does a fair job. I think there's some issues that need to be worked on. I really believe this whole lack or push for diversity is alarming to me, to say the least. We've had some cultural situations, and he had no real clue of what was going on. And that doesn't mean he's just, you know, incompetent. I don't mean it that way. But I mean cultural competency in education is as important as the education itself. If you do not understand the culture of the people that you're working with, how do you truly teach them? You really can't engage them. That you can give them something, but it's not about an engagement. It's about telling them do this or do this, right? But it's not understanding where they come from. Paulo Freire talks about language and culture and pedagogy of the oppressed, and he points out the fact that while we want people to emulate the rich or the upper middle class, it just totally disregards the fact that people who live in poverty or not the higher culture have an actual culture that they learn to survive in, right? And a lot of times they take those survival skills into a space, and the people who don't know them, they look inept. These are not inept people. Clearly, these people have survived and been making it forever, right? But you need to understand that. And to the point about the superintendent, he needs more training about culture and diversity in real time. Not, I went to a workshop and they said this and this and this. I mean, you need to really engage people in such a way that you understand them. Any leader, my understanding of leadership is suiting the needs and what people need, right? But you have to hear them and engage them to know what they need, because as a leader, that's your job to see that those needs are met at whatever level that is, and then you move forward. When you write your strategic plan, you look at the people you're supposed to serve, but you have to know who you're serving, and then you go back and you write your plan, because when they become proficient or when they move over to this other side, you now take people possibly out of poverty into this other place. So, of course, your crime rate drops, your employment pool is much better, right? And then you have people wanting to come into your space. So I just believe diversity is such a major issue. It's affecting more than I believe most people say give it credit for.
Why should someone vote for you to be on the Macomb School Board?
I'm willing to be that outside voice, because I am a product of father passed away very young, parents divorced. And I lived in a housing project, and I understand what it's like to live on the other side of the tracks. I understand when there's no voice for you and you just figure it out. But we're giving these kids because their parents have X, Y, and Z. And I'm willing to be that voice for those single mothers or parents. I'm willing to be that voice to say, you know, Dr. Cornell West says to speak truth is to allow suffering to speak. And we know with the educational system in America, the way that it started, it started with the intention of excluding people of color, right? And so we went all the way through to once it became legal to let us in school, then you started a tax system. Then after the tax system, it was a voting system. And then after the voting system, you moved all the way to the civil rights movement till we talk about desegregation, Brown versus Board, and all of these things. So there's always been these, say, problems, situations that kept people of color out of the system. And I come from that space, right? And that's how I see education. So for me, it is to speak truth to the system of power and to say there's some things that you're not thinking about that makes us all better. Not just children of color, but everybody gets better when we know more about each other. So I'm willing to be that voice to poke the bear, so to speak, to talk about this is what you haven't addressed. This is what you haven't looked at. And then we can talk about what we have and how do we make the system better for everybody. So I'm all about equity and inclusion, and it doesn't matter to me if it's a single white a European American mother or a single African American mother or just whomever. Somebody has to be a voice so all people are included in getting better. And that's really why I'm running for the school board, to see to it that everybody has a voice.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Rich.